We'll talk about being careful as we soak up the sun this summer beyond putting on sunscreen. We'll talk about keeping safe from injuries during our favorite summertime recreational activities with two medical experts. And we hope you will join in with your questions and your experiences. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, June 5th. I'm headed to Door County for my first mini summer vacation this coming weekend. I'll be getting in some biking and hiking and swimming and running away from mosquitoes. Lots of mosquitoes up north. Next weekend is the family reunion at a park here in Madison with kids playing on playground equipment and playing softball and grilling out. Plenty of sun and fun, but also plenty of opportunity for getting hurt. So we'll try to prevent that this hour. What questions do you have? Maybe you have advice from your own experience. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Kim Lombard, a trauma injury prevention coordinator with Gunderson Health System. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us is Dr. Mason Fisher, who specializes in trauma surgery at Gunderson Health System. Good morning, Dr. Fisher.
Good morning to you.
Well, let's, I guess, just start out generally. I understand that while we all love to get out and have fun in the summertime, it's maybe not so much fun for you, Dr. Fisher, in that you see a big uptick in injuries and problems, especially children?
Yeah, we do see some children, but we do see an uptick in our recreational injuries, such as ATV and motorcycles, and even our motor vehicle collisions during the warmer months of the year.
Yeah, Kim, you see maybe more injuries from like motor vehicle crashes than anything else?
Yeah, we do see actually falls is a big area, and that obviously occurs all year round, and then primarily it affects all age groups, but primarily older adults, and as well as motor vehicle crashes. So there is an uptick in injuries that time of year, and it's just basically because people are outside, especially children. They're playing, they're more active, they're getting into things that potentially can cause some injuries. So prevention is a very important piece of that.
Yeah. So, how do you start in preventing some of the more common summertime injuries, Kim?
Well, we track our injury rates, so we're able to kind of pinpoint what's going on. We can look at the gender, the age group, to really help us target those intervention and those efforts. And then we just simply do. There's different things you can do as far as prevention. So sometimes it's changing the environment. So is our environment safe that we're in? Are there changes that need to be made? Sometimes enforcing, sometimes making new policy and law. So there's many different avenues that come about, but really it comes down to behavior change, maybe changing some things that you used to do or learning new safety practices and new safety behaviors.
Yeah. And Dr. Fisher, so far this summer, so good, or are you already seeing some of these? We're kind of focusing in on summertime. I know these injuries can happen any time of the year, but the injuries associated with summertime recreational activities and the like.
Yep, we do see some of the summertime recreational activities as early as right now. The main influx of that will be in the coming months here as the summer kicks into high gear.
Well, we were, I guess maybe just talk a little bit about some of the things I'm doing coming up this weekend, not to make this about me, but I'm sure it's what a lot of people are planning on doing this summer, getting in some biking this weekend. I have not been on a bike all year, I'm sorry to say. I love to bike in the summertime. I always wear my helmet. But beyond that, Kim, any thoughts if we're just going to start getting out on our bikes? What are some things we should do for safety?
Definitely. So you should probably get your bike maintenance. So definitely take it to a bike shop or a professional who knows how to do that. Those individuals are going to check over your brakes to make sure they're working correctly. Just check to make sure that the bike is a safe condition, add tire to your airs. All those things are really, really important. My daughter actually just had her first bike crash, I guess, and and we didn't maintenance her bike, and she like hit a rock and kind of went over the handlebars, which is typically what happens when a person is injured. They kind of fly off of the bike and go over it. So maybe maintenancing her bike would have helped. She kind of caught a rock in a tire on her tire, and she went down. But, you know, talking to your kids about the importance of bike helmets, role modeling bike helmets yourself. Bike helmets are actually 85% effective in reducing the chance of a brain injury. So your brain, obviously, is something that we want to protect. The rest of your body can still get injured. And you can even get injured wearing a helmet. However, there is a much greater chance of you surviving that injury. There's a much greater chance of the injury not being as severe. And then really just following the rules of the road. I think many people might be confused with, you know, pedestrian safety versus bike safety and how they should follow the rules. But bicycles basically operate the same way as vehicles. So they have to follow the same rules. If you come to a stop, then you have to stop. You drive on the same lane as a vehicle would. And so really just learning those rules of the road, getting out there, practicing, and really just watching out for everybody. I think when we have more people biking, which is great, we want people to be healthy. We want them to be out there, you know, being active, but really we want them to do it safely. So I just feel like we have to look out for each other. We have to look out for pedestrians. We have to look out for bicyclists, whether we're driving in a vehicle, riding a bike, or walking ourselves. We really have to look out for ourselves as well as the other people around us on the road.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I was one of the few bike crashes I got into was similar to what happened to your daughter, except it was more, I was behind my husband on a bike trail, and he did stop for something. And I saw that he was slowing down, but I think I just hit my brakes way too hard, and I went flying over the bike handlebars. And I didn't hurt myself, but I really could have. And it was kind of scary. So watch out for who's riding in front of you, too, is my advice. I'm wondering, Dr. Fisher, if you have anything to add about bicycle injuries. What if I did hurt myself? What is there something we can do in the field, so to speak, before we end up at the hospital?
Well, it's always nice if you're riding with somebody as opposed to by yourself. Or if you are by yourself on a ride, somebody knows where you're at or where you expect to arrive. If you're out on that, like a training exercise or just a recreational ride, things that would be recommended just in the field is if you do suspect your riding partner has injured themselves severely, then make sure that you yourself are going to be safe getting that person or getting to that person, especially if you're on the roadside. So you got to protect yourself before you can help your riding partner. If you're by yourself, then a lot of people have a cell phone, so maybe call somebody that would be available to come and help and give you assistance if you suspect that, you know, it's out of the norm other than just a simple scratch on the leg or a scratch on the arm, especially if you suspect you hit your head pretty hard or you're having some pain in your back or neck that wouldn't be there originally from a minor type fall.
Yeah. And speaking of the head, Kim, I suspect that my bike helmet is probably a little looser than it should be. How do we make sure that we are wearing our bike helmets correctly?
Sure. So you want the helmet to be level to the head. So it shouldn't be tipped up too far forward or too far back where the forehead is exposed. Many times, you know, when I'm observing people just biking, I see that our kids really, they wear the helmet all the way up on top, so their whole entire forehead is exposed. You really want it level to the head. You want to make sure you buckle the straps. That's, I guess, another thing that I see people wearing their helmet, but the straps aren't buckled, and obviously that's not going to protect you in a crash. It's going to fly right off. I don't think maybe sometimes people understand the force of a crash, or, you know, we do see a lot of vehicle versus bike crashes. So obviously there's a heavy machine coming your way, a car that weighs thousands of pounds, and that can cause some pretty severe injuries and even death. So you want to make sure your helmet is snug enough on you. So the straps should be pretty snug but not too tight around your chin to cause discomfort or, you know, choking or anything like that. There's a test that we teach people, and that's just when your helmet is buckled, just open your mouth as wide as you can. You should be able to feel the helmet pull down on your head when that happens, when you're opening your mouth. Another thing you can do is take one or two fingers, place them right above your eyebrow. That top finger should not, or it should just be touching the rim of the helmet. You shouldn't be able to fit any more than two fingers in between your eyebrow and the top of your helmet rim. So, you know, lots of times we do see helmets worn incorrectly, especially when we do helmet giveaways or check helmets for kids. So just make sure that they're doing it right. You might have to help your children make sure that it's buckled correctly. Hair, you know, things, ponytails, things like that, barrettes that girls might wear in their hair, those should be taken out when a helmet is worn. The ponytail might actually cause the helmet to be worn incorrectly. So just things to consider.
And Dr. Fisher, should we crash on our bike or get bumped on the head in any other activity, how do we know if we ought to get that checked out?
Well, if the individual had a significant enough hit to the head, we do worry about some concussion-type symptoms that may be mild. So if they're having persistent headache or nausea or just not feeling quite the same as prior to the accident, maybe a balance disturbance where they're unsteady on their feet, or if they are missing a larger period of time that they just forget that they're even out on the trail, then those individuals should be evaluated for other injuries as well.
We are talking about keeping safe from injury in the summertime. Most of us get out and about and take part in all sorts of recreational activities in the summertime, from biking to swimming to grilling out. We are talking with our guests about how to stay safe doing that, and we're welcoming your questions for them at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's see, let's talk about swimming safety and preventing injury or drowning in summer from swimming, coming up after we take a short break. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about staying safe as we have that hot fun in the summertime. We are talking with two guests about keeping safe from injury when you are enjoying the summer. And we are welcoming your experiences, your questions, your own advice, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll get to swimming in just a moment, but I was just thinking about the temperatures this weekend. Not too bad, in the 70s for the most part, but sometimes it is... you know, we do, of course, have 80s, 90s, and even more. Talk some, if you can, about heat stroke or dehydration or other, you know, those types of issues, Dr. Fisher. How do we prevent that?
Well, the biggest thing to prevent any heat-related illness during the summer is to know what your environment's going to be like. So if you're plan on being outdoors or plan on some sort of activity that is going to expose you to the weather and the heat and the sun, then to be prepared and look at your heat index chart from your local news agency would be a start. The other would be to maintain good hydration throughout the activity and try short periods of time of actual activity that you'll be partaking in while taking several breaks throughout the activity to cool down and rehydrate.
Yeah, how do you know if you're dehydrated?
Well, you'll an individual can lose, you know, up to 1 to 2 liters an hour for some strenuous type activities, depending on what they are doing. in terms of dehydration, they may start to get a sensation of thirst. And then later, a headache could come with that from dehydration as well. Severe instances, then they're going to have issues with maybe their blood pressure if they have other medical conditions to begin with, and they're not healthy to start. So low levels of dehydration could affect those individuals a little more severely. For instance, the elderly, as compared to a young, healthy individual that has no medical problems.
Mm-hmm. Does that lead to heat stroke, or what is heat stroke exactly?
So heat stroke is when the body's ability to cool itself has been surpassed, and the heat production has bypassed the ability for the body to cool itself by normal mechanisms of sweating, vasodilation, or dilating the blood vessels of the skin. And the core body temperature typically goes above 104 or 105 degrees. Folks can have a lot of other serious related medical complications from that.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any, Kim Lombard, do you have any prevention tips when it comes to just, you know, avoiding dehydration, avoiding heat stroke, that sort of thing?
Well, Dr. Fisher kind of hit it right on the head, just to be, you know, aware of your environment going out that day. How much time are you going to spend outside? Definitely stay hydrated. And water is the best thing to hydrate ourselves. We really don't need the Gatorade drinks, you know, things like that, unless we're already dehydrated. That might help boost our electrolytes and our salt levels. However, we can also get water through the foods that we eat. So choose foods that have high water content. Typically fruits and veggies, you know, when you bite into a watermelon and all the juice comes out, that's a good way to just judge if a vegetable or fruit has high water quality or quantity. So just consider those things. Be careful. Spend a limited amount of time outside when it is extreme, and we probably will see some extreme weather just like we did last summer. Kids, really pay attention to children as well as the elderly. Kids do tend to not be able to cool themselves, their bodies aren't regulated like adult bodies are. So they might get hotter 3 to 5 times faster than an adult would. So pay attention to things like that and really take precaution when it comes to those young individuals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to talk about swimming next, but I think Tom in Burlington has a tip that's worth discussing before news. Hi, Tom.
Yes, in the summertime here, first of all, we've had this pollen attack, which is unbelievable. You might want to just dress that story in the summertime. But my idea is this sunblock and the sunbathing. People sit there and they bake, and they don't realize how dangerous the sun is. My cousin died from skin cancer. I've had my skin chopped off, part of my nose, and I think there should be a sign on every beach saying how dangerous the sun is. And
all right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Tom, but we didn't want to necessarily focus on skin cancer, but Kim, people should wear sunblock whenever?
Yep, definitely wear sunscreen. That's not my area of expertise, but I am a health educator, so we look at whole health, so definitely protect yourself in the sun, in whatever the way that may be, whether that's drinking more water, wearing sunscreen, covering your body, protecting your body, your skin, is definitely important and something we want to be aware of at any age, so considering children all through the age ranges.
Yeah, and our guests really can't, I don't think, address the pollen attack unless you're seeing some people, Dr. Fisher, because of the pollen attack.
No, I wouldn't see any individuals with pollen-related illness.
Right, right. When it comes to swimming, I thought Tom was also going to say wear that sunscreen while you're swimming. Let's just talk a little bit about swimming safety. Kim, I don't think it matters if I go into the pool or the lake right after eating, or does it?
Oh, Dr. Fisher, do you know?
No, that's that old mother's tale about getting cramps after eating.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I've heard. I guess I don't know
Well, what else? What else should we keep in mind to prevent any injury from swimming?
Well, what we want to prevent are the drownings. So whether you're in a pool, a public pool, or a pool at home, or an open body of water, there's definitely certain precautions that you need to take. Now, in Wisconsin, we have large open bodies of water, rivers, which makes great recreation and great fun for families and people. But we need to consider when we are out on a boat, we need to provide life jackets. And for children under the age of 12, they should be wearing a life jacket at all times while on a federally regulated open water. So prepare for those things. Make sure you have life jackets for everybody, all of you people that are going to be riding with you that day. It's also important just to prevent drowning, to learn how to swim. That's probably the most important thing that you can do. And you can teach a child to swim starting at age 4. Also supervision when we consider kids.
Yeah, let me hold you there because we will pick up more on swimming safety after the news. There is plenty of fun to be had in the summertime, but also plenty of opportunity for getting hurt, and we are trying to prevent that this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37. What questions or advice do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We've already talked some about biking safety or preventing injuries while biking and preventing drownings while swimming. Talked some about preventing heat stroke, staying hydrated, wearing your sunscreen and all that sort of stuff. What about some other summertime activities like fireworks, grilling out, riding ATVs? We will talk about those and any others that you want to talk about with our two guests. Kim Lombard is a trauma injury prevention coordinator with Gunderson Health System. And Dr. Mason Fisher specializes in trauma injury at Gunderson Health System. And we welcome your questions and your experiences for both of them. You know, I wanted to talk some about an activity that could affect all of these other recreational activities because they could lead to problems. And I know, Dr. Fisher, you care about this issue, too. That's mixing alcohol with recreational activities. What advice do you have for us?
Well, a lot of the injuries that we see are alcohol related, and alcohol does have a significant effect on why these individuals will either have a vehicle crash or a motorcycle crash, or even simple things such as falls from height. So they are definitely affected by alcohol consumption, definitely increases an individual's risk for injuring themselves with any related activity.
Yeah. So I would, are you saying, obviously you're saying be careful when you do that, but is there any things that we can do, especially to prevent underage drinking?
Well, sorry, Dr. Fisher, did you want to say something?
I'll let Kim answer this.
Thanks. I think just, you know, starting the conversation about drinking, doing drugs, and really setting the standards for it's not acceptable behavior, it's not something that I stand for, it's not something I want to see you doing, and then giving the reasons why. And just really providing, you know, it's recommended just to talk to your youth and your teens about the effects of alcohol, the negative consequences, expressing to them that you care and love for them, and if anything happened to them, you know, you'd be lost. But really communication, providing positive family time, paying attention to your kids, and not just listening, but being very active listeners in their life to show them that you're involved, kids are going to kind of gravitate towards negative behavior when they feel, you know, that things maybe not aren't right at home sometimes, or they don't feel love and acceptance, so they might seek out their friends for that. And if they're seeking out friends that also do those same activities, it's just kind of a recipe for disaster. So really just talking to them, monitoring their behavior, where are they going, where are they at, what type of kids do they hang around, who are their friends, do you know their friends, and then making them accountable. So if you do catch them or find out they have participated in underage drinking, you know, having consequences to that, and then setting standards and limits for if it happens again, this is what's going to happen, and really just showing that you care, you're concerned, and you're there to help them.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to another popular summertime activity, riding ATVs. And I know, Kim, this one is a big one for injuries.
Yeah, we do see quite a few ATV-related injuries in our area as well as throughout the state of Wisconsin. So it's something that we want to provide some prevention efforts in. And really when it comes down to prevention, these injuries are actually predictable. We can predict them because we know that if people operate ATVs not correctly, there is a greater chance of them being injured on ATV. So things that are done that maybe aren't the safest are carrying passengers, let's say, on single rider ATVs, riding on pavement. ATVs are made for off-roading, and the wheels are actually set up only for off-roading, and when you ride it on pavement, it really changes how the vehicle operates, and it can actually increase the chance of a rollover. Using an ATV that's not the right size, obviously when you have alcohol and drugs involved, there's a greater chance of being injured. And just not following the state laws and ordinances.
Yeah, I know I had a relative who, a young man who died in an ATV accident. I think this was when they weren't as stable as they are now. It rolled over on them. So it was a very, very, very traumatic for the family. Do you see a lot of these injuries, Dr. Fisher?
Yeah, we do see quite a few ATV as well as UTV injuries related to whether it be rollovers or related to collisions with other objects. So it is something that we will see.
Yeah. We are talking about keeping safe from injury in the summertime. Have you been injured doing a summer recreational activity? What happened? What advice do you have for preventing it? What other activities does your family take part in? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, it's not for a little while yet, but it's almost fireworks time, 4th of July. What should we do when it comes to fireworks, Kim Lombard, to prevent injury?
Sure. Well, actually, firework injuries are pretty common this time of year. In the United States, on average, right around this time of year, 200 people on average go to the emergency room each day. So that's quite a large number. And so we really want to try to provide some education, you know, some awareness. And really what it comes down to, we actually recommend that people view the fireworks shows that are offered in the community. So we recommend that you leave it up to the professionals. That is the safest way to view or watch fireworks. But we understand that might be the not as likely situation when people really enjoy this time of year and they enjoy celebrating our 4th of July holiday. So if you choose to use fireworks, what is recommended is that there's one person who is, you know, handling the fireworks. It's just one person. Have a bucket of water nearby to extinguish any fireworks. And really use them in the manner that they're intended for. Keep them away from your eyes, your body, your hands. You know, there are potential injuries that can include burns, loss of fingers or limbs, amputation, things like that. So really you have to just be cautious, use the product how it's intended, keep a distance around the fireworks, so make sure people aren't nearby when you light them off. And really when it comes down to kids, you know, we sometimes think that sparklers are a safe firework item. However, they are pretty risky, and kids do get injured by them, either with burns or things like that. They can actually reach temperatures of up to 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit, which is fairly hot, considering glass melts at 900 degrees Fahrenheit. So we definitely recommend children are not touching fireworks. A safe alternative would be glow sticks, something simple, something that's not hot and on fire.
Yeah. I had a colleague who did a story on fireworks safety one year. It was for a television station some years ago, and he lit some kind of firecracker type of device, and it blew up, and something shot into his eye. And luckily, he saved, you know, he didn't lose his sight or lose his eye, but he certainly had a very red and sore eye for many, many days. So it's it's not something to take lightly, that's for sure. And another friend got really couldn't hear after some really loud explosive device had gone off at a fireworks display, kind of like a neighborhood fireworks display. It was so loud. So things like that you might not even think about can happen to you too. So Dr. Fisher, anything to add when it comes to staying safe from fireworks? Have you had to deal with fireworks injuries?
Yeah, we will see firework related injuries, and a lot of the major firework related injuries will be seen at the burn centers across the state. But these smaller injuries, and a lot of them related to sparklers, much like Kim stated, because they are thought to be more benign given the nature of how they look, when in fact they probably have the highest temperature of the fireworks that are ones that you can purchase at, gas stations, stores, things locally as you travel across the country. Not only is the temperature a concern from a thermal injury, but also the end of the firework as it burns, it leaves a metal tip, which is rather pointed and can cause injuries to the eye, and especially for little kids who may get burned by the sparkler and have a reaction because they have a burn on their arm from a little ash that comes off of it, and then they have a reflex reaction with the sparkler.
Yeah, and you don't want to step on those buggers either with bare feet, if you want to put them somewhere so you don't step on them. We are talking with Dr. Mason Fisher and Kim Lombard. They are both with Gunderson Health System. Kim Lombard is a trauma injury prevention coordinator, and Dr. Fisher specializes in trauma surgery. And we're talking with them because this is the time of year when we see a lot of people getting injured doing common summertime activities. And in fact, the injuries to children go up significantly in the summertime, probably because we're out and about a whole lot more. But we're trying to prevent summertime injuries that occur during our summertime events, like when we are playing with fireworks or playing recreational sports, when we're swimming, when we're biking, when we're hiking, you name it. Our guests will likely have seen it, and we'll have some advice for you on how to prevent and treat common summertime injuries. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Have you been injured in a summertime activity? What words to the wise can you share from your experience? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm gonna soak up the sun. I'm gonna tell everyone to lighten up. We are talking about having fun in the sun and soaking up the sun, but staying safe too, with our two guests from Gunderson Health System, Kim Lombard and Dr. Mason Fisher. What questions do you have about keeping safe from injury in the summer? What sorts of activities do you like to take part in? And have you been injured taking part in any kind of summertime activity? Have you witnessed behavior from others that you'd like to warn us about? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, many other topics to talk about, and we have some calls coming in, but I wanted to touch on grilling and outdoor cooking out. We'll be doing that with our family reunion coming up, not this weekend, but next. And I know, Kim, lots of injuries can happen with something that seems so simple. So what do you recommend when it comes to cooking out?
Well, just taking general precautions. So I think when you think of cooking out, you know, it's fun, it's eating good food, but really the concern are burns with grilling and maybe some carbon monoxide and things like that. So really you should grill outside. So all grills should not be indoors, or there should be no grill indoor or even on a deck or surface. So it should be on a cement-type surface. You want to definitely keep children, pets, at least 3 feet away from the grill area because it's hot and there's some dangerous things that they can get into. You definitely want to have somebody attending the grill, so you shouldn't leave it unattended. Make sure somebody's kind of standing and watching over the food. You know, and just really know how to use the product. most of the injuries that do occur with grills are from propane grills. So one thing to just be aware of, if the flame goes out on your grill, you should wait at least 15 minutes before you relight that grill, because propane actually can sit in the grill, and when it relights, it can cause kind of a fireball effect, which can cause very, very severe injuries. So it's recommended to wait that 15 minutes for that propane to kind of dissipate into the air. And those are just kind of a few recommendations that will keep you safe.
Let's go to Shauna in Sparta next. Hello, Shauna.
Hello. I have an 11-month-old baby, and I've heard recently about secondary drowning. And one of the articles I read said that the child gets pretty sleepy, but how do you tell if the child's sleepy or if it's an emergency? And is there anything else you should watch out for with that?
Yeah, I saw an article recently on that, too. It was the first time I had heard of it. Somebody who came close to drowning, or maybe, you know, really sucked in a lot of water but was all right initially, then experiencing drowning-like symptoms because of the water still in the lungs or something like that. Dr. Fisher, do I have that right?
Correct. They have... they do aspirate some water, and it's significant enough that it will cause some inflammatory type reactions within the lung, which will develop over hours, as opposed to a complete drowning where the patient's pulled from the pool unresponsive at the time.
Yeah. So, do you have any tips for Shauna who wants to know when to know if there's something wrong with her child? Should the child be experiencing secondary drowning?
So, when a child does suffer a submersion incident associated with water, often it can be unwitnessed. People are busy, they may be in a conversation at poolside, and they take their eyes off their children for just a couple minutes, and the next thing you know, maybe the child is not, you know, responding to the pool or struggling. One thing that could be a giveaway for the child is that if they vomit an amount of water, because they can swallow some of that water if they've had an increase or if their head went under for a little while. So that would be one thing, emesis or vomiting at the poolside there. And then from there on out, it is just watching the individual or the child. So are they having difficulty breathing? Does it look like they're breathing faster than before? And if the child's not behaving as they had prior to their pool activity, then the best thing to do is to call the child's pediatrician and see if there's any other advice for the child. Because some of these will need to be seen at the emergency room, emergency department, and some of the children actually need admitted for observation to make sure their oxygen levels are fine and make sure that they're not having any ongoing injury.
Yeah. Thank you, Shauna, for the call. Jeff in Elgin, Illinois is with us now. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. I just wanted to mention something about biking. I'm an avid cyclist, and many times I see families where only the kids are wearing helmets and the parents are not. In my opinion, I feel that gives a message of do as I say, not as I do from the parents. But, you know, it's important to wear a helmet. The other thing is really bright clothing is important, too, because, you know, cars, they don't necessarily see bike cyclists. They'll blend in if they're wearing darker clothes. I was hit once, and I'm just a big proponent of bright clothing and helmets for cyclists.
Well, I'm glad you're all right, Jeff. Sorry about that crash. Wow. Kim, do you say yeah. Ditto?
Absolutely. So I've actually done research, Jeff, which shows the correlation between parents modeling helmet behavior and the chance of a child using a helmet throughout their lifetime. So if a parent models correct helmet use and they demonstrate that in front of their children, throughout that child's lifetime into adulthood, that child is more likely to wear a helmet their own. So it really, really, really is important that parents also role model the behavior that you're teaching your child. And I would definitely agree, reflective material, light colors when biking, thanks for that input because that's an important factor as well.
Monette emails, watch out for snake bites, especially when hiking, biking with children. Familiarize yourself with any trail hazards. I have been in a particular park that has rattlesnakes in the area, but when I asked park officials why they don't post signs, I have always been informed that they don't want to keep visitors away. Poison ivy is also everywhere around the area, even on the bike trail. So she goes on to say, familiarize yourself with the various hazards on a bike or hiking trail. We only have about a minute or so to go. Kim, anything to add to that?
I mean, I would just agree with those statements. Any environment that you put yourself in, you should make sure that it's a safe environment. And, you know, maybe contacting the park officials would definitely sound like the right thing to do and making yourself more aware of those hazards. Because, I wouldn't want to get bit by a snake either. That sounds a little bit scary.
Yeah. And in only 30 seconds to go, Dr. Fisher, do you have any last general tips on staying safe this summer?
I think just awareness of your surroundings and, you know, everything kind of in moderation, such as if the weather's too hot, take your time, stay well hydrated. Folks that can legally drink alcohol, do that when you're not participating in your biking or your ATV or UTV activities.
Sounds good.
Remember to, you know, wear your safety equipment.
Thank you both very, very much for being with us. Thanks to Robin Cherry and Christy Taylor for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.